Holy Gospel according to John, the 15th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you, so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from the one true God who creates, redeems, and sustains us this morning and always. Amen. Over the course of this past month of June, we have been on an adventure of joy. And at each step along the way, we have explored different experiences and expressions of joy. As the month began, we remembered the joy of laughter in God's promise to Sarah and Abraham and Jesus' promise to those who weep now in his Sermon on the Plain. We then, the next week, explored with Pastor Derek White how all adventures, including Jesus's, begin with joy. Then, of course, through the dancing feet of the prophet Miriam and those powerful women of Israel, and the spirited movement of those faithful shepherds that we know so well, we deepened our understanding of the joy of movement. And last week, we remembered that our joy is not something to hoard, but that our joy grows in its sharing, that we, like Abraham of old, are blessed to be a blessing to the entire world. This morning, being the last morning of June, could just as easily have been rolled up into our theme for July, the adventure of relationship. But it seemed to me that there was still a little more to be said about joy. Certainly that theme, the adventure of relationship, warrants plenty of attention, and especially since I'm not even going to be here for half of the Sundays in July because of the National Youth Gathering, you know the joy of relationship is very valuable to me, and I want to preach on it and preach on it and preach on it and preach on it. It's still, there's more to be said, more that needs to be said about joy. There's been a lot of talk in recent days about commandments. Talk about what those commandments are, how those commandments should be used or honored, where those commandments belong or don't belong. All of this talk, as you know, has been about a very particular set of commandments, the Ten Commandments, those famous divinely etched stone tablets carried down the mountain by Moses, to the newly freed people of Israel. The Ten Commandments, whose exact numbering hardly finds any agreement amongst the different faith traditions, which these Ten Commandments, which appear in three different places in our Holy Scripture, each one distinctly different from the other. The Ten Commandments, just part of the 613 commandments found in the Hebrew Bible, often exclaimed as the true moral code, these Ten Commandments, the most important guide we have to live a truly moral life. Even Jesus in our gospel text this morning speaks of commandments. If you keep my commandments, Jesus says, you will abide in my love just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. These words should sound a little familiar to you this morning. We last encountered them just about a month or so ago as part of our lectionary readings. And as much as I would want to have a redo of any previous sermons, that's not why I chose this text for this morning. I chose them to do for us to revisit again because of that last sentence that I just read. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. These words, in the context of our adventure of joy, seem to stand out to me when I pick them. And they still do. In fact, when I first picked the reading for this Sunday, our reading stopped at that verse. But given our current context in this particular news cycle, that other word, commandment, struck my ear and my heart a little more poignantly than it had before. Now, I don't know if it's because the story of Moses and the Israelites in the wandering in the wilderness, the crashing of the Red Sea on Pharaoh's army, or if it's just because of Hollywood, but for whatever reason, these Ten Commandments continue to loom large in our culture and in our faith traditions. They are certainly good teachings and important rules for us to follow as God's beloved children. Now, we know, as Lutherans, that these commandments aren't just the specific rules that they are written as, don't lie, don't cheat, don't steal, don't kill, etc., etc. They aren't just a set of unrelated guidelines to keep us from getting into trouble. We, as Lutherans, understand that these commandments are prescriptive. That is, they are set forth in just such a way so that we might first understand how to love our God and then how to love our neighbor. These rules aren't only about the things you aren't supposed to do so as to keep you safe from an angry and vengeful God. No, these rules are about how we are to best love our God and how we are to respond to that love by loving our neighbors as God calls us to do. Nothing, to my mind, delivers this particular message, this proactive understanding of how the laws, the commandments, should direct our lives, than these words that Jesus speaks to his disciples and to us this morning. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Too often we understand these rules, these commandments, as a sort of litmus test, that these 10 rules are how we measure our holiness or the holiness of others, how we measure your rights as a child of God, your value. But as we talked about the last time we encountered these words from John's gospel, the value of a tree, an animal, another person is not for us to determine. The value of all things was first determined by God. And that value is good. At the root of everything and everyone that exists or that has ever existed is that good value, God's value. And we are called to understand all of creation in that same way. And just as the value of all creation begins with God's calling it good, so too all of God's commandments to us, God's directions on how best to live our lives with one another, are rooted in love. The love God shares with us. The love God asks of us in return. And the love with which God sends us towards one another. You remember that old song, don't you? The song that I used for my sermon title today. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. I am so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. You know that song, right? It goes on, right? I've got the love of Jesus down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart to stay. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. Our happiness cannot depend solely on the various ways in which we measure our own success or failures, our value. Our happiness cannot depend solely on the things or titles or experiences we accumulate. Our happiness cannot depend on the teaching of the law alone, but it is through the gospel, the good news of God's love, that our happiness is founded. And it is through our love for one another that love finds its truest expression. It is through our active love for one another, for all of God's beloved children, that the world will know of our God. We can post whatever we want on the walls of our churches, our homes, our social media accounts, and our schools. We can claim value and worth and right and wrong according to whatever we set our minds to. We can stand on the side of the mountain and make whatever claim we want about who our God is and what we mean to our God and this world. But if we truly understand the love our God calls us into, if we truly believe that our God has created us in love, with love, and for love, if we truly know that all that we are and all that we have and all that we see and touch and feel and hear and smell and encounter in this world begins first with God, and are good because God deems it so, then what else can we do but love? How else can we show the world what it means to be God's good creation but to love? God's commandments are worth our attention. God's commandments should be kept. But only if we remember that those commandments are written in love to help us to remember that we are called to love one another. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. The joy is in our hearts. And our worth is in that joy. And that joy is God's. Let us remember that joy. Keep that joy. Cherish that joy. Begin each day with that joy. And then let us go out in joy to love one another. Not just with our rules, but with our whole hearts. Amen.